Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Welcome. Continuing with the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam, we move on to the next set of laws. Hilchos Tshuva, the laws of Tshuva. The word Tshuva is a Hebrew word. It means return. Returning to God after one has strayed from God. That's the root source of the idea of Tshuva, means return. It's usually liberally translated as repentance, literally return. Mitzvahs asei achas, the whole law of Tshuva is based upon one positive commandment. Who, and that is, sheyoshev, or yoshuv hachete, mechete lifnei Hashem, that one who transgresses, one who sins, should repent and return to Hashem, repent from his sin and return to Hashem, ve'yisvada, and verbally confess. And we'll talk about the idea of verbal confession to Hashem. Ve'yor mitzvah zu, and the explanations of this mitzvah, ve'ikorim hanigrorim ima biglola. In addition to the fundamental principle of this mitzvah, are all the other details which are connected to it and evolve from it, all explained b'prokim elu in these chapters. Peter Kedishin, chapter 1. Kol ha-mitzvah shebetorah, paragraph 1. Every mitzvah in the Torah, and we know the mitzvahs in the Torah are divided into two categories. There are 248 positive commandments and all of their branches and offshoots, 365 negative commandments and all of their branches and offshoots. All of these mitzvahs, bein asei, whether positive, bein lo isasei or negative, im ovar odom alachas mehen, if a person transgressed even one of them, bein bizodin, whether willingly, wantonly, intentionally, bein bishgoga, or accidentally, inadvertently, kishayash tshuva, when this person will do repentance, will repent, will return, v'yoshuv michete, when he repents and returns from his transgression, comes back to God, chayov, he's obligatedly, his vades, to confess, to make a verbal confession, lifnei hakel baruch hu, before God, blessed be he. And that's rooted in the verse, shenemar, as it says, ish a isha, be it a man or a woman, kiyasu, who will do, etc., transgression, v'hisvadu, they will verbally confess, as chatosam, their sin, asherosu, which they do, ze vidui dvorim. This is verbal confession. In Jewish life, we say tachanun, we say al chet. On Yom Kippur, we strike our chest and we verbally state any possible sin that we may have committed. Now, vidui zeh, this verbal confession is the key of this mitzvah. Mitzvahs asei, it is a positive commandment. So that's the root source of the commandment before we get into the many other related issues. Ketzad misvadin, how does one confess? Eimer, he says the following. And this is the gist of confession. Ono Hashem, please God, I implore you. Chotosi, I have sinned. Avisi, I went off the right path. Poshati, I have transgressed. Lefonecha, before you. V'yosisi, and I have done kach v'kach, this and that, so and so. V'harei nichamti, and now I feel bad about this. I regret it. Ubeishti, I'm embarrassed. B'masai, of my deeds, I am so ashamed. V'la'elam eini chezer l'davazeh, I will never return to this type of activity. Zehu ikore shalvidui, and that's the main thrust of this verbal confession. When I study or teach or learn the section in the Alter Rebbe's Tanya, the 12th chapter essay called Igeres HaTshuva, a 12th chapter essay on repentance, I like to refer to this as the three R's: regret, remorse, resolve. I regret, I am remorseful, and I resolve for the future. That's an important component. And that is accompanied by the main thrust, which is verbal confession. V'chol hamar belisvades, the more one verbally confesses, umarich binyan zeh, and dwells on this, elaborates on it, it's better. That's the idea of the daily Tachlon prayer, of the daily verbal confession, which according to, depending upon the nusach, the style of prayer you follow, but for example in the Chabad nusach, on days when Tachlon is recited, on non-festive, in non-festive seasons, we say Tachlon three times a day. Shachris, the morning service, has Tachlon. Mincha, the afternoon service, has Tachlon, and the pre-bedtime Shema also has a section of Tachlon. V'chein, and so also, Balei Chatois V'Hashomeis. There's a whole different category of repentance, and that is during the time the Holy Temple stood. If one inadvertently committed a sin, one would bring a sin offering or a guilt offering. Again, for inadvertent transgressions as a rule. So the people who came and offered sin offerings and guilt offerings, the Eish Shemavian Korban Eseim, at the moment of their offering, of their bringing this offering, Al Shigigosan, for their inadvertent transgression. Or in certain cases, Ayal Zdeinon, even for an intentional transgression, which is rare, Ein miskaper lohen bekorbonam, they are never given, or they are never forgiven with this offering, atriyasu tshuva, until they repent, which means just bringing an animal offering and say, I'll sin, I'll bring an animal. That's worthless. The animal offering is symbolic of the regret of one's animal soul. There has to be a verbal and emotional and heartfelt regret, remorse, resolve, v'yisvadu, and there has to be the verbal confession, vidu dvarim, which is what the people who brought offerings would do. Shenamar, as it says, v'yisvadu asher choto alev, they must confess their sin. V'chein, the truth is that the same rule applies, kol mechayve mrs. Bezdin, any situation where the court imposes a death penalty ever, or when people are condemned by the court to receiving lashes, it's not enough to, God forbid, experience death or lashes. That doesn't bring atonement. And in Jewish teachings, punishments are never about punishments. They're always about atonement. Ein miskaper lohen b'misoson, they don't receive atonement through their death, a bilkiyoson, or through the lashes, atriyasu tshuva, until they repent, v'yisvadu, and they verbally confess, which is why there was a tradition of verbal confession at any one of the above applications. V'chein, and there's another detail here, and that is, hachevel b'chaveirei, if one injures another, somebody hurts someone else physically, or v'hamazik mamayne, somebody harms somebody else financially, restitution is not enough. Apapisha shilam le, even though he pays him, mashu chayav le, what he owes him, ainam iskaper, he's not forgiven, achiyas vada, until he verbally confesses, the yoshev, and he really experiences this regret, remorse, resolve, Yoshiv Milasis Kozela Elam, and he'll commit never to do this again. Shenema Mikol Chatas Hodam, any sins. And this is the principle explained here in paragraph 1, that this tshuva accompanies any experience of punishment as well, whether it's lashes or whether it's the death penalty, whether it's a sacrifice, it makes no difference. They are incomplete without this verbal confession, which must be accompanied by an emotional repentance. Bays, paragraph 2. By way of introduction to paragraph 2, Reb Jack, there's a fascinating ritual which took place in the Holy Temple on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. And by the way, Yom Kippur is called the Day of Atonement. It's the big day. What is this ritual? The community was obligated to bring two goats. One goat was offered as a sin offering with a special ritual prescription which was performed in the Holy Temple as outlined in Leviticus, where it goes through the details of this ritual. But there was a second goat. The second goat was known as the So'ir La'azazel, the goat that was sent away by special messenger. I guess this guy probably worked for FedEx or something like that. And he went to a remote mountain called Azazel, did a whole ritual, and then the goat was pushed off the cliff, fell to its death, carrying, so to speak, the sins of all of Israel. And that's what we speak about in paragraph 2. Parenthetically, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe says, on this concept, we all have within us good and evil. The good should be focused on. The evil should be sent far, far away and pushed off a cliff and make sure it never affects anybody. Because if you take your evil and send it far away and push it off a cliff, you're not going to end up abusing anybody else with it. So here, this goat. By the way, a goat is the animal of choice for sin offering because it's stubborn as a goat. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shaka Liv Divori. Chaim L'chaim. Soir HaMishtaleach, this goat that is sent as the sin offering, Lefi Shehu Kapora Al Kol Yisrael, being that it makes atonement for all of Israel. Kohen Godol Misvada Olov, the high priest makes verbal confession upon it, Al Shein Kol Yisrael, speaking plural, representing the entire Jewish people. Shenamar, as it says, Misvada Olov, as Kol Avenes B'nei Yisrael, he shall confess upon it all of the transgressions of all the Jewish people. Which sins does this goat atone for? Sayyid Hamishtaleach, this goat, which is sent away to be pushed off the peak called Azazel, HaMechaper Al-Kol Aveda Shebetera, makes atonement for all sins. It's one size fits all, or better stated, one goat fits all. HaKalos, the less severe, VaHachamures, the more severe, Bein Sha'avad Bezodin, whether intentional, Bein Sha'avad Bishgoga, unintentional, inadvertent, Bein Sha'hedele, whether he ever found out about it, he or she ever found out about it, Bein Sha'lehedele, or they never found out about it, Hakel Miskaper Basoir HaMishtaleach. Every single sin that a person can commit in the above list, which includes everything, is atoned for with this ritual of this goat which is sent to the Azazel. The who, that would be she'osa tshuva, if the person also repented, which is why it's called a day of repentance. Aval but im lo yosa tshuva, if a person does not repent, he says, why do I need to repent? I got a goat. Ein hasoyer mechaper loy, then that ritual only brings atonement, el al akalas, for the less severe, for the lighter sins. How do we define lighter and heavier sins? What is the definition of light sins? It almost sounds like mayonnaise. Best foods are east of the Rockies, Helmands. Hachamureis, the severe sins, hein shechayov and aleihem misses bezdin. They are the sins for which one can suffer a death penalty by the court, a chorus, or a death penalty, so to speak, by God, the cutting off of the soul. Ushvuas shav v'sheker, and in addition to death penalty and cutting off of the soul sins, false oaths, unnecessary oaths, they have severity as well. Afapish embam chorus, even though they don't have this particular punishment of cutting off of the soul. Harehein min hachamuris, they fall into this category. Or shar mitzvahs leisaseh, but the balance of all the other negative commandments. U mitzvahs aseh, and all the positive commandments. Sheim bam kares, which do not have this. Kares, hein hakalas, they would be considered lighter sins. In general, we're admonished never to try and pick and choose heavy sins, light sins, because we really don't know. But he gave a very general overview. Three, Bizman Azeh, nowadays, She'em Beis HaMikdash Kayem, where there is no holy temple, says the Rambam, 800 and something years ago, Ve'ein Lanu Mizbach Kapora, and we don't have an altar of atonement, Ein Shom Ela Tshuva. Our only option, our only game, is tshuva, is repentance. Because we don't have sacrifices. We don't have goats. It's not like we don't have goats, but we don't have the ritual of the goat. Hatshuva michaperes al kol ha'averes. Repentance brings atonement for all kinds of sins. Tshuva is so powerful. Tshuva has infinite potential and infinite energy. There's no limit to tshuva. Afilu rosha kol yomav, even if somebody is wicked, sinful, evil all the days of his life, he also tshuva b'achreina, and in the last moments of his life he repents. Ein maskirin leishum davar mirishay. Then, in his day of judgment, not one word is mentioned of his evil, negative life. Shenamar, as it says, virishas harosha leyikoshel babiyim shuvim mirishay. The wickedness of the evil one will not cause him to stumble on the day he repents of his wickedness. There's the famous story of Elozer ben Dudaya, who was a gentleman who lived in Talmudic times, the times of the Mishnah, who was, a good word for Elozer ben Dudaya would be a hedonist. He followed and he pursued his lusts and desires in every arena of life, never missed even one. One pleasure in life, he didn't even miss one. And shortly before his passing, he was led to severe, intense repentance. I don't want to go into the details of the story. And he went into such a fit of repentance that he died in the process of this repentance. His soul expired, and he passed away. They renamed him Reb Elozer ben Dudaya, Rabbi Elozer ben Dudaya. Rebbe, the author of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, said about him, Bokho Rebbe, Rebbe cried. And he says, Yesh koneh olamo b'shah achat. There could be a person who can acquire the world to come in one moment. Here's a guy who sinned his entire life, and this guy knew how to sin. He could write a manual on sinning. And in one short period of a few hours or whatever it was, a day, a moment, he wiped it all out. And that is the power of tshuva. Tshuva has the infinite component of Hashem. What about Yom Kippur, known as the Day of Atonement? The Atzmai, or as others pronounce this, Itzumo, Shel Yom HaKippurim Mechaper LaShovim. Even though Yom Kippur requires repentance, but to a certain extent, the experience of the day of Yom Kippur also brings tremendous atonement, as long as there's some component of tshuva. Shenemar, Ki Vayem Azeh Yechaper Aleichem, This day will make atonement, and there's a whole debate in Halacha whether Yom Kippur requires repentance or just a day is enough. And the Rambam says it does require repentance, but Yom Kippur has that special Yom Kippur energy. Paragraph 4. Afalpi shatshuva mechaperes alakeo, even though repentance brings atonement for everything. The atzmei shel Yom Kippurim or itzumei shel Yom Kippurim mechaper, and the day of Yom Kippur itself brings atonement. Still, not every atonement is instant. Sometimes atonement is a process. Yesh aveira shein miskaprim b'shaton. Some sins are instantly atoned for. Yesh aveiras. There are other sins shein miskapris el lachazman that are only atoned for in or over time. It's a time plan, a payment plan, installment. Repent through an installment plan. Interest free. Ketzad, how does this work? What is implied? If a person transgresses a positive commandment which does not have the cutting off of the soul, and then he repents, a regular positive commandment, he doesn't budge from there until he's forgiven for having missed the opportunity of doing the positive commandment. Regarding these, it says, "Shuvu banim shevavim, return, O faithless children, erpa mishubei seichem, I'll heal your rebellious acts." But as the Alter Rebbe explains in Igeres HaTshuva, in the section of Tshuva, despite the fact that the atonement process is there, but v'ho'or ne'edar, the energy that one brings to the world through the performance of a positive commandment, is obviously not there, because you missed the positive commandment. You're forgiven, but you don't make up the loss. I like to tell the parable of the fellow who's told by his wife, "Listen, I have information," not insider information, because we don't do insider information. Even in my stories, I don't do insider information. "I have information that this stock is going up. I want you to take the $50,000 that we have put away for a rainy day and put it all in this stock, because we're going to make 10-1 on it." He says, "Yes, dear." And he goes to work and promptly forgets about it. Comes home later that night and she's celebrating. She has a fancy dinner. "We are now worth $500,000. The stock went up 10 times. And he says, "Oh, am I in trouble? I never bought the stock." Spends the next 3 years apologizing and getting beat up. "You idiot. How could you have done that? I told you. What are you doing?" And he says, I'm sorry. And he buys her this and that and the other. And finally, 3 years later, he gets her to forgive him. She says, "Honey, I forgive you. All is well." That may be so, but they still don't have the $500,000. All is well, you missed the mitzvah, but the $500,000 you don't have unless you buy the stock. So that's point one. Positive commandments. You're going to buy the stock, huh? Better hurry. Oh, but our mitzvah leisas, if he transgresses a negative commandment, she'ein b'koris, which does not have the cutting off of the soul, v'lei misses bezdin, what we described earlier as the minor or lesser level negative commandment, lighter, yosa tshuva, and he repents, tshuva toilo, his repentance is placed in suspense. V'yeim ha'kippurim b'chaper, or as we'll say in the financial world, his tshuva is placed in escrow. Or, as they say back east, in contract. And then Yom Kippur comes, you close escrow. The forgiveness is complete. Well, the Elo Nema, regarding these sins, the more serious category of sins, it says, "Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem," on this day, he will make atonement for you. Yom Kippur closes the escrow. Now, what about the more serious sins? Oh, but al krisis or mrs. Bezin, sins that have the cutting off of the soul or the death penalty by the court. We also tshuva and he repents. Tshuva b'yom kippurim teilim. The repentance and Yom Kippur is in suspense. V'yisurim haborim olav, and the sufferings of life. Gemrim le'hakapora, complete the atonement process. And this is why you see many people when they go through a difficult time, an accident, a mishap, they say, it should be a kapora, may it be atonement for me. Because any negative experience that we have is part of an atonement process. A person never receives 100% atonement until he suffers. And therefore, you have the sufferings of life. There's no shortage of it, unfortunately. We're told, this is interesting, and my dad, a blessed memory, used to often share this with me. We talk about sufferings. There's all kinds of sufferings. There's terrible sufferings. But even a situation, and I'm sure you can all relate to this, where you lose your wallet, and you go crazy. My God, I lost my wallet. I've got everything in my wallet. How could I have lost my wallet? And then an hour later, you find your wallet, and all is well. The suffering of that hour brings you atonement. That's pretty good suffering, because all is well an hour later. But the frustration of that hour also brings atonement, my dad would share with me. And it's based upon the teachings of our sages. I believe in the Talmud. Ba'elu Nemar, with regard to this, it says, Upakadati b'shevet pisham u'v'negoyim aveinam. I will punish their transgression with a rod and with plague. Bamed varam amurim, when does this apply? B'shaloi chilas Hashem b'shar sha'avar, if he didn't publicly desecrate God's name when he transgressed. Avob, however, but hamachal es Hashem, when someone profanes God's name, afa pisha osa tshuva, even though he repents, v'higia yom kippurim, and the day of atonement comes, v'emed b'tshuvase, and he's still repenting, boy, love yisurim, and he suffers, because he publicly desecrated God's name. He doesn't have complete atonement until he dies. By the way, this death could take place after 120 years. But when he dies, the death brings complete atonement, which is why there has to be, when a person dies, he has to take advantage of those last moments and do the prayer before death, which is, please, God, please allow my death to atone for me. Elo tshuva. Yom Kippurim v'Yisurim, the repentance process, the Yom Kippur process, the sufferings of life, Shlosh Ton Teilen, they're all three in suspense, Umisa Mechaperes, and the death penalty, I'm sorry, and the death experience will complete the process. Shenamar, as it says, V'nigla ba'ozle Hashem Tzvois, Yimichupar Oven, Hazel Lachem Atumusun, it was revealed in my ears by Hashem, surely the sin will not be atoned for until you die. The completion of atonement is the process of death. And just to end this chapter, on a lighter side, there's an adorable rabbinic story they tell of a woman who had a rabbi summoned to her bed because she said, Rabbi, I feel my last moments are here. Can you say the vidui prayer? Can you say the last prayers with me before I die? And the rabbi said, of course. And there's a whole section of prayers which have to be said. And he says all the prayers with her. And she's feeling very, very accomplished. And she's becoming weaker and weaker. And then she turns to the rabbi. She says, Rabbi, can I ask you a shaila? May I ask you a halacha question? And the rabbi says, of course, please. And she says, do you think I can have a drink of water, or do I have to die now? So that's an adorable rabbinic story of the confession. And the rabbi, of course, told her she can have a bottle of Perrier if she wants. Not a problem. Okay, that takes care of this chapter.